would do exactly like we do when we walk the streets of Egypt and somebody puts out their hand. We're in the same context. Most of the times we feel mafish falus. There's no money. But we don't do the second part, we just keep walking on. We probably feel very much like Moses when God asked him to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. And he said, mafish falus. There's no money, there's no energy, there's no ability, I can't even speak. You're asking me too much, God. I can't do this. Have you ever felt useless? Anybody ever felt useless? Have you ever felt useless to God? I remember my first paying job. We had moved to the city. I worked, you know, all of my life as a kid on the farm, learned how to work good, I think. And when we got to the city, my dad arranged for a job at the local garage station that he used. And so I had just turned 16. And my first Saturday, I remember he just put me on washing cars, real skilled labor, you know. And so I made some money washing cars. The next Saturday I went back, he put me on the pumps. And so I remember this one guy drove. I was fine for about three people. I filled with gas, you know, and took the money in. The third guy had the audacity to ask me to check the oil and put in a quart. So I, you know, lifted up the hood, looked like Joe Mechanic, and I looked under there, and where in the world do I put the oil? I had no idea where the oil went. And so with kind of, you know, sheepishly, I went back into the office to ask the boss. Now, you need to know that there were two German brothers who owned the place. One was named Helmut, and the other was named Adolf. Adolf was at the cash register, and I said, excuse me, sir. I was very embarrassed, of course. Could you please help me? And he said, what for? And I said, I need to know where to put the oil in the car. And he looked at me, and he said, go to hell. And I just about died. And I said, I'm 16 years old, my first job. And I said, but I just need to know how to put the oil in the car. And he said, go to hell. And I said, but could you please help me? And he said, I know I'm busy. Go see Helmut. Go to hell. Well, after I recovered, excuse me, this thing's making too much noise. There we go. After I recovered, it still took me a while to learn how to put the oil in the machine, in the cars. But I remember that experience so much because not only was I accosted with this verbal assault, which I misunderstood initially just like you did, but the thing that accosted me more than that was my feeling of stupidity, my feeling of uselessness in terms of being a mechanic. And throughout my life, I have felt those same feelings on a number of occasions, both in the workplace as well as in ministry, as well as a child of God. Sometimes I feel like God asks me to do things and I just can't do it. And I feel like Moses, Lord, who am I? I can't speak. I can't do this. I can't do that. You're asking me too much of me. Please don't do that. And I have found that a lot of people, a lot of Christians have those exact same feelings when it comes to serving the Lord, when it comes to being useful in His hand. He asks us to do things that we feel we just can't do, that we don't know anything about, or that seems completely out of line with our personality. And then when we do try to do it, we seem to bomb or feel like people tell us just to forget it. Well, today I have some wonderful news for you. God will never ask you to do anything that He will not also supply the ability to accomplish. Did you hear that? God will never ask you to do anything without supplying the ability or the resources or whatever you need to accomplish it. Moses said, I can't do it. And God said to him, Moses, what do you have in your hand? Well, just a stick, stupid old stick. That's all it is, Lord. What am I supposed to do with a dumb old piece of driftwood, a stick? God says, throw it down. and he threw it down, and it became a snake. You know the story, we read it. And God was supernaturally showing him that even a dumb old piece of driftwood stick can also become significant when it's thrown down before the Lord. And it was that dumb old desert stick that God changed from the rod of Moses to the rod of God, that was used to part the Red Sea, that was used to bring water from a rock, that was used to lead the people out. And God would look at you and me today and he would say, what do you have in your hand? Oh, I don't have much, God. I can't even talk and I can't do that. I know all that, but what simple thing do you have? What have I given you? Throw it down. Lay it at my feet and watch me use it. That's really what happened in today's passage in the book of Acts. That's exactly what happened. Peter and John are walking into the temple, going there for prayer. All of a sudden, bakshish. Bakshish. And their natural response, like you and me, is mafish falus. And then it's almost like the Spirit of God comes upon them, brings to their mind a reminder that no, they may not have any falus in their pocket, but they did have something. They had something to offer that man, not that he wanted, but what he needed. Now, you know as well as I do that the world is full of needy people. Not just beggars on the street here in Mahdi, but everyone. Every one of us have needs in our own life. Now, most of us don't go around asking for help verbally, but all of us at different times in our life are lonely, or broken, or broke, or hurting, or depressed, or fearful, or displaced, or hopeless, or bound, or imprisoned, or hungry, or anxious, and the list goes on. We all wrestle with those things at different times. And yet, in most of us, just like in the crippled man at the beautiful gate, there is a much deeper need than the obvious one. The obvious ones we're all aware of. We're all aware of the feelings and the hurts and the things that are needs to us. But we are not always aware of the needs that are more significant but deeper. This guy at the gate didn't need money. He thought he needed money, but he didn't need money. He needed healing. That's what he needed. What do we do when we see somebody's need beneath their want? What do we do when we look into someone else's life and we see that they may be asking for one thing or looking for one thing, but there's a need that is so much deeper? How do we respond? I believe that this story suggests to you and me as God's children, as His servants, that when we minister to people, we don't just meet the surface needs of their lives, but we in fact look for the deeper need and minister there. Peter and John said, we don't have any silver or gold. We don't have any stuff to put in your hand. We don't have what you're asking for, but we do have what you need. Many of you know that the last week and a half we were privileged to take a tour group pilgrimage to Israel. We were blessed with a really neat young guy. The adult tour had a young tour guide and a Palestinian fella. And one night Brenda and I were sitting with him at the table in Tiberias, and he commented to me. He said, well, I won't say exactly what he said, but he commented on how beautiful he thought my wife was and how lucky he thought I was to have such a very special woman. And I agreed with him, of course. But I wasn't about to give her to him. He was a single guy, 24, good-looking, had a lot on the ball, intelligent, smart young guy. But in that moment, I said, Lord, what's beneath his question? And I realized that although he was, in essence, asking, where can I find such a beautiful wife, there was something much deeper in his heart and soul. And so at the table there, I began to talk to him about it. And I said, Aladdin, you'd like to find a good woman for a wife, wouldn't you? And he said, yes. And I said, tell me, what kind of a wife would you like? And he began to describe the kind of wife that all men would like to have. And I said, so where are you going to find her? Are you going to find her in the bars and the strip joints and the hangouts that where you spend your time? And his face went blank. And he looked at me with a look like I had just stripped him naked. And he hung his head and he said, "You're right." And we began to talk about the condition of his soul and where he was wasting his life. We had a good talk that night, and I could tell by the way it went that the Lord is working on his heart. At that moment, Aladdin did not need a wife. Aladdin needed healing in his soul. Peter and John knew that the crippled man needed more than money that day, and which they didn't have. He desperately needed what they did have. They had Jesus. And so in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, they said to him, "Rise up and walk." You may say, "Well, that's a story from the New Testament. That's one of those pretty stories that are supposed to build our faith, but Jesus doesn't work that way anymore." Oh, yes, he does. He hasn't changed one bit. Peter and John got involved in that man's life, and they lifted him up, knowing that if they did their part, if they used what little that they had, God would also correspond and do his part and raise that man up. And what resulted? God brought healing to his body. He went walking and leaping. But he also brought healing to his soul. It said he went walking and leaping and what? Praising God. Something happened in the inside of that man that changed him. That reoriented his look from the outstretched hand to ask to the upraised hand to praise. Something transformed him inside. And although the text doesn't say that he was healed financially, we know that he was. He no longer had to beg. He could now work. He was also healed socially and emotionally. He was no longer an outcast, looked down upon, despised, or tolerated at best. He was now a contributing member to society. These two disciples were able to look past his expressed want and minister to his deep need. Just before we left Israel, I took Aladdin aside privately, and I said, "Aladdin, I'm going to be praying for you." And I said, "And here's what I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray that God will take all so much of this ability and insight and brilliance that God has given you in your head and let it drop about 12 inches into your heart. Because God wants to minister to you, Aladdin. He wants to change you. He wants to do something in your life and through you." And I'll never forget, he said, looked at me with this strange look in his eye, and he said, "Dave, you know the night we talked in Tiberias?" And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "I couldn't sleep all night." He said, "I couldn't get out of my mind what you said to me." And he said, I know I've got to get my life right with God." He didn't do it while I was there, but I know that God is working in Aladdin's life. And I know that God is drawing him to himself. Perhaps some are here like Aladdin and the crippled beggar this morning. You have needs in your life, whatever they may be. Those needs that swallow up your time, your thought life, your energy, your emotions, your concern. You know what they are. And today, I can't offer you silver or gold. I can't offer you some surface ointment to take away the initial pain. But this morning, I can offer you Jesus. The same yesterday, today, and forever. I can invite you to come to him and lay your life at his feet and find his wholeness that goes not to the outer healing, but to the inner healing that goes to the very core of your person and sets you free there. So that when you're free there in your spirit, walking and leaping and praising God, then it goes outward to your mind, your will, your emotions, that part that makes up your soul, and you're free there. You can walk and leap and praise God and be free from your hurts and pains, and then beyond that, it ministers to your body and sets you free to go walking and leaping and praising God. Now, I don't have money. I don't have a coin to put in your palm. I don't have an immediate remedy for that ailment on your surface. But this morning I can offer you Jesus. And He will minister to you if you will let Him. He will touch your life today. Now, you and I also know that the world is full of needy people, and because it is, you and I are going to come in contact with them regularly. They're going to have many requests of us, from the bakshish on the street to the more significant ones in the office or family or wherever. Can I ask you to pray with me, dear friends, that God will give us eyes to see beneath their surface wants to the real needs of their soul? Many times we get caught in arguments, we get caught in frustrating encounters, we get caught in all kinds of hassle with individuals because we're trying to touch people on the surface. And that's where they say they want your help, but you find often when you give it, it backfires because they know themselves innately that's not where their real needs are. But when we reach down and touch them where they're really hurting, where the real needs are, there we see the freedom that Christ brings to their life. Ask God to give you that insight to minister to those kind of needs. And then pass on to them whatever God has given to you. Then we say, oh, but Pastor, I don't have Bible school training like you. I can't witness to Aladdin. I can't talk to this person. I don't have those abilities. I don't have those gifts. Like Moses, I can't even speak. And God would say to you this morning, what do you have in your hand? What do you, not your neighbor, not the person up there, not the other, what do you have in your hand? What has God given to you? What talent has He given to you? What insight, what ability, what personality, what unique traits has God invested in you? What has God put in your hand? Whatever it is this morning, throw it down at His feet. Lay it before Him and say, Lord, it may not be much, it's just a stupid desert stick. God would say, that's fine. Yield it to me. Place it in the hands of God. When you do your part, watch out, because God will do His. God will never ask you to do anything for Him that He does not provide whatever you need to see that it is done. Please join me in prayer. Father, we come to You this morning, first of all, like the beggar at the beautiful gate. Each one of us have our own needs, Lord, and You know how deep some of them go. We thank You this morning that You are not just our Savior, although we thank You immensely for that, but You are also our healer. You are the one who brings wholeness to our lives. So this morning, Lord, I pray that as these, my brothers and sisters, lay their lives at Your feet, as we look up into Your face this morning with outstretched hands, often asking for things that are on the surface, oh, Jesus, we pray that by Your Spirit You would go to the very center of our persons and minister Your healing touch there. You know those here this morning who are broken and wounded and damaged deep in their interior. You know the experiences that these people have been through in their own lives that have hurt them, that have scarred them, that have torn them. You know the bag of guilt that people are carrying this morning because of past failures. You know, Lord, the mistakes that we have made in our past that haunt us and that cripple us and that immobilize us from serving You and being what You called us to be. Oh, Jesus, will You come this morning and minister Your healing touch there? Set us free in the interior, so that on the exterior we can also skip and leap and praise God. And then, Lord, when You've set us free from the brokenness of our past, we also pray, Lord, that You would then help us to be like Peter and John and give us eyes to see the needs beneath the wants and those we encounter. And we pray, O God, that You would also keep us like Moses. Even though we may not have much to offer, help us to lay it at Your feet and to find that when we do, You take what little we have and You use it mightily for Your kingdom. Do this for Jesus' sake, we pray. And all God's people said, Amen. to help you respond as I have prayed. I trust it's your prayer as well. Hymn number 379 is a beautiful hymn of saying, Lord, whatever I do have, here's the rod, here's the stick, here's the talent, here's the ability. Whatever I do have, Lord, I lay it at your feet. Stand with me as we sing number 379.